This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Now here's your host, the guru himself, John Hansen.
Welcome to Prop Points, Jeff Erickson and Nick Whalen. We are with rotowire.com. Will the Brewers ever lose again? They may not. Sources are telling me they may not. We'll talk about their hot streak. We'll talk about the Dodgers getting off the schneid. We're going to be talking with Eric Halterman. He's got second half futures bets joining us in a little bit there. Do a little play it or pass it, both football and baseball. Maybe even a little college football talk in there as well. That and my baseball bets for the day all coming up next. This is Jeff Erickson here with Nick Whalen. Nick, let's start off with the Milwaukee Brewers. They did it again. They rolled over the Mariners yesterday. We saw Brandon Woodruff with another gem. Good stuff from him.
Yeah, another gem from Woodruff adds even more strength to this Brewers rotation. It is not a position, Jeff, that the Brewers are overly familiar with historically, having a surplus of pitching at this point in the year. Milwaukee now the best record in baseball, 11 straight wins, and it did it again last night in a very Milwaukee fashion. You know, neither team doing anything early in the game. You know, we had no home runs for the Milwaukee Brewers, timely hitting, infield hits, taking advantages of some mistakes in that bullpen for the Seattle Mariners, and just cruising their way to what ended up being a relatively easy victory. So Brewers keep it rolling, Jeff.
Yes, they do. At the beginning of the season, 78.5 was their win total there. I was happy to see that. I think we talked about that in the run up to the season there. About halfway through this, for 2 months into the season, a little concerned that, okay, they're not going to get there. They look kind of rough. But as the Brewers are wont to do, they went out and they got better and better. Little things here, they added pitching. They got, obviously, they've got some, they added Quinn Priester. Quinn Priester has been very good for them. You know, they got good outings out of like Chad Patrick, Logan Henderson earlier. They called up Jacob Mizrahi, who pitches tonight. He's been amazing so far. Brandon Woodruff is back. This is not a slugging team. We went over that point a little bit yesterday. There's still not a tremendous offense there, but they've been able to, get the little things right, though. The defense is right. The base running is right. Little things like that have mattered, but it's really the run prevention that's really put them there. 20 games over 500 now. And, obviously they're live for the NL Central. They are leading now in the NL Central. So pretty amazing stuff for them. Big matchup tonight. We'll spend more time on that from a betting angle later on, though. But Jacob Mizrahi versus Logan Gilbert tonight. Brewers are underdogs in this one. I kind of like the Brewers money line. It's really been good. Meanwhile, on the side of things here, this is a team that had a pretty good series against the Astros over the weekend, but they're now five back after losing two in a row.
Yeah, they certainly are. And, you have to kind of look at the strength at the top of the American League right now and kind of wonder, all right, where does this team fit in? And, they're hanging in the wild card race right now. Got a bunch of teams, still very much in the mix. And I think that's going to be something that's really interesting to watch, Jeff, over this next, week and 2 days leading up to the trade deadline is, where do we draw this line? Which teams are buyers, which teams are sellers? I think there are a handful of teams, especially in the American League, that are still making that decision, right? We were talking about the Kansas City Royals, you and I, earlier today, a team that's only 4.5 back of that final wild card spot, but a team that also might think about starting to play for 2026. They have some pitching that they could end up putting on the block. Minnesota is a team that went on their run early in the season. They've certainly cooled off 5-5 in their last 10. Another team that could look to unload some pieces in that bullpen. We don't have that many definite sellers in the American League. Really, it's just Baltimore, the Athletics, and the Chicago White Sox. And we can circle about how many pieces on those last two teams are even viable. I know we'll talk to Eric Halterman later in the show. He'll have some thoughts on Mason Miller as to whether he could be dealt.
Indeed. And looking forward to talking with Eric, especially on that. A lot more baseball yesterday. I love it. Sometimes Mondays are pretty quiet. You don't get a whole lot of action. We had a lot going on yesterday in MLB, including a walk-off catcher's interference. The Phillies walk off the Red Sox in extra innings. Red Sox have had a tough go of it after the All-Star break. They ran into the Cubs and the Phillies, basically, is what happened. They had won 10 in a row heading into the break. They lost 2 out of 3 to the Cubs. Now they lose to the Phillies. They got a good performance out of Walker Buehler. But, the Red Sox, they're still a wild card team, but you know, it's getting tight. They're tied with the Mariners, a game and a half up on the Rays, who also lost yesterday, and a game and 2.5 up on the Rangers. So you look at those and you look at what's happening with those two teams. And I think it's kind of interesting to look at the Red Sox, look at their starting pitching. What are the Boston Red Sox going to do at the trade deadline?
Yeah, another team in the American League with some decisions to make, and you know, sitting at 6 games above 500 right now, occupying that final wild card spot in the AL. I think the path is a little bit more clear for Boston. You're obviously not thinking about selling at this point. And obviously they were the hottest team in baseball heading into the All-Star break. Now I've dropped 3 out of 4 after winning 10 in a row. I think the AL East is probably, I wouldn't say fully off the table, but likely off the table. I think you're chasing that wild card spot more than anything right now, for being realistic. But I think this is a team that will be aggressive, Jeff, and certainly should be aggressive at the deadline, certainly in terms of beefing up the pitching. You know, it's a team that I think, to me, talent-wise, you know, matches up pretty well with those other teams that are competing for the wild card spots. You know, you'd expect the Yankees to probably be able to keep pace ahead of them. But if you're Boston, you're overly scared of the Seattle Mariners. You know, you're looking down at teams like the Rays and the Rangers and the Guardians. I think you feel like you compare pretty favorably there. I mean, I'll ask you, is there a player or a certain position you think the Sox need to address most?
Indeed. I think that they probably are going to address pitching, starting pitching. And it's a question of inventory. You know, you got to really question what sort of starting pitching is going to be available. Is it going to be Edward Cabrera, Sandy Alcantara? Is it going to be someone of that nature there? Is there someone better? Is Merrill Kelly from the Arizona Diamondbacks going to be in play? For that matter, are the Diamondbacks even going to sell? I mean, I think that's the real question there. I look at some of the things that the Diamondbacks have been doing. First of all, they went on a nice little run until last night when Zach Gallen got knocked around pretty good by the Astros. Zach Gallen, you know, they expected so much more out of him, and it's been really disappointing about that. But you know, the Diamondbacks are sitting 5.5 games out of the wild card in the National League. I think they may be the biggest linchpin, and we're talking about these trade talks here. That is something there that I'm not quite sure whether or not they're going to be willing to sell or not. One game under 500, definitely going to watch to see what happens with the Arizona Diamondbacks, as I think that's one of the bigger deals here. All right. Let's talk a little bit more about, a little bit more baseball. Let's talk a little bit on the what happened last night with the Yankees and the Blue Jays. We looked at 2 weeks ago where the Blue Jays won 4 games in a row in Rogers Center, went up 4, that's when they passed the Yankees. They're now 4 games up on the Yankees. They beat them again yesterday, 4-1. Carlos Rodon, again, couldn't go deep into that game. Again, didn't get many strikeouts, walked 5 in that one. That was a big deal. Now, this is another case here. We have two teams that are kind of in it to win it. The Blue Jays, they don't have like a glaring offensive weakness, but they don't also have glaring strengths. I think that if they want to improve it, it's probably trying to find maybe another hitter there, but they're an interesting team there to see on that there. You know, again, you know, they're going to be favorites today against the Yankees. I think that might be the first time in any of these recent games that they are favorites, but interesting there to see that Scherzer versus Cam Schlittler. But we'll look at this. What's your take on the Red Hot Blue Jays?
It's a team that's had in my opinion, a pretty miraculous turnaround, Jeff. And, you know, by re-signing Vlad Guerrero, I think this offseason, you know, they were signaling that, yes, we are maybe in it to win it more than some people expected. But this was also a team that was 2 games under 500 at the end of May, right? I mean, I don't think we were looking at the Blue Jays as a potential division winner at that point. I think everybody expected the Yankees to just kind of run away with the AL East and maybe Boston to finish second. And, you know, Toronto's now 18 games over 500. It's a team that it feels like every time they lose a game or two, they rip off 4 in a row right after that. You know, I think their resilience game to game has been what's most impressive to me over these last couple of months. And, you know, that lead in the AL East now up to 4 games on the New York Yankees. You know, I know the betting market has been a little bit hesitant to buy into Toronto as a true favorite in the division, but we're deep enough into the season at this point, Jeff, that I think we have to consider the Blue Jays completely viable. They are now favored at the DK Sportsbook, -105 to take the AL East. Yankees down at +115.
Yeah, absolutely. And some of their strength is their depth. I mean, keep in mind, their one big free agent this year is Anthony Santander. They had had a hard time. They were in it on Juan Soto. They were in it on Roki Sasaki. They've came up short on both of those. And yet they signed Anthony Santander, and he's done nothing, less than nothing. He's been, you know, a negative player. He's been hurt for a long time. He's on the 60-day IL. There was just a report earlier this week that he is still weeks away from being able to swing a bat. Weeks away, which is just crazy, you know, given how long he's been out. He might have to just write him off for the rest of the season. The fact that they're here without that, with that disaster happening, shows that this is such a balanced lineup. Otherwise, one of the things I like is they don't strike out. 16% strikeout rate over the last 30 days, and that went down again yesterday. Really impressive there from them. We're going to talk more baseball. We've got news on Trey Hendrickson. We've got news on some other baseball news as well and other football news. But first, did you know that RotoWire has a brand new look and an even better fantasy football draft tools set for the 2025 season? Whether you're using the draft assistant to get real-time insights as you draft, customizing your own strategy with the draft plan creator, or testing scenarios with the powerful draft simulator, RotoWire gives you everything you need to draft with confidence. And right now, VSiN followers get an exclusive offer. Head to rotowire.com, enter promo code VSiN at checkout, and get 15% off any RotoWire product. That's rotowire.com, promo code VSiN. We're going to do a little play it or pass it coming up next. We'll talk a little Joe Burrow when we do that. We'll talk a little college football. We'll talk a little baseball. That and a whole lot more coming up all next on Prop Points. We'll be right back.
Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. It's time for another critically acclaimed, worldwide renowned edition of Play It or Pass It. I'm Jeff Erickson here with Nick Whalen. Nick, let's talk a little bit about Joe Burrow. Bengals reported to camp today. He had 43 passing touchdowns last year. We got a nice little over-under of 33.5 touchdown passes here, -115. Play it or pass it.
All right, we're getting right into the weeds here on a really good one from our producer, Michael Cohen. So 33.5 touchdown passes for Joe Burrow, -115. Like you said, 43 touchdowns last year, did play all 17 games. He led the NFL in completions. He led the NFL in attempts. And he led the NFL in yards. You look back at Burrow's history, went over this number in 16 games back in 2022. He went over this number in 16 games in 2021, barely over in both of those seasons, 35 and 34 touchdowns, respectively. Had just 15 touchdowns in 10 games in 2023. So we always caution everybody, the disclaimer with any of these season-long player props is you're usually going to need the player to stay at least relatively healthy. I think if Joe Burrow misses any more than, I don't know, one or two games, you're not going to feel great about this. But I think we'll play it, Jeff. I know we're being baited a little bit here with what feels like a low number, but the more we talk about this Bengals team, the more convinced I am that this season might have to look a lot like last season. I don't know that the defense has improved to the point where you're confident that the Bengals, you know, won't have to play in a shootout anytime they're facing a viable opponent. If you dig a little bit deeper on Joe Burrow's numbers, number one in the NFL last season in red zone pass attempts. So the touchdown opportunities, the touchdown volume tends to be there. 29 of his 43 touchdowns last year came within the 20-yard line. And he only completed 59% of his passes, Jeff, in the red zone. You compare that to somebody like Baker Mayfield, who is at 75% in the red zone. Lamar Jackson, 70%. Patrick Mahomes, 67%. So you do wonder if, you know, that completion rate could even rise to match some of the, you know, elite quarterbacks in the NFL. So as long as Joe Burrow stays healthy, I think he has a good chance to go over 33.5. We will start by playing this one. All right, Jeff, we'll go every other here through our play it or pass it on Tuesday's edition of Prop Points. Giving you a tough one here. Sam Darnold, play it or pass it. Darnold over 3,450.5 passing yards. This one's at +100.
All right, so this feels like it should be a layup, right? He threw for 4,319 passing yards with the Minnesota Vikings. Okay, you're saying, okay, well, that was the Vikings. You know, they had, you know, a perfect setup. Kevin O'Connell, Justin Jefferson, you know, Jordan Addison, TJ Hawkinson, great targets there. Okay, but let's go look at Seattle. Geno Smith threw for 43, 20 last year. So one more yard than Darnold last year. But I think this is a recipe for disaster. And I think I think Darnold with the Seahawks is a recipe for disaster. So I'm going to pass on this for a couple of reasons. One, the offensive line is still a problem. Geno Smith, far better evading the pass rush than Sam Darnold. We saw what happened to Darnold in the Lions game, in the Rams game, in the last game of the regular season, in the playoff game. What happens when Darnold is truly under pressure? I think you're going to get a steady stream of that this year. I think it's going to be pretty ugly with that. Two, they got rid of DK Metcalf. They traded him for a second round pick. I don't like the additions in the wide receiver room. I'm not a big fan of what could happen with Cooper Kupp in this offense. They just cut Noah Fant. Oh my God, Noah Fant. No, that's not the issue. It's just that they're trying to shed payroll there at key moments. I don't like what the Seattle's doing with their offense. I'm going to pass this one. All right, Nick.
All right.
Let's take a look go pass it back and forth. Justin Jefferson, over 9.5 receiving touchdowns. Play it or pass it, plus 110.
Another really good one from producer Michael. And, you know, you're thinking Justin Jefferson, 9.5, that feels a little bit low. This is plus 110 for a reason. So I will tell you right now, I'm leaning toward passing this one. You look at his first 5 years in the NFL, 10 touchdowns, 5 touchdowns, 8 touchdowns, 10 touchdowns, and 7 touchdowns. Now, the outlier season, of course, being that 5 touchdown year 2 years ago, he did miss 7 games in 2023, but on balance, Justin Jefferson has been fairly healthy throughout the early stages of his career. You know, last year he was a bit streaky in terms of the touchdown production, had 4 touchdowns in his first 4 games, had just 1 touchdown over the next 8, and then made some hay toward the end of the season. But the point is, he does tend to be streaky. You know, the yards with Justin Jefferson have tended to be more bankable than the touchdowns have. It feels like, you know, every year in his career, even last year when he got to 10, it kind of feels like he's leaving touchdowns on the table relative to someone like Ja'Marr Chase. So I'm going to need a little bit more value on this one, especially with a new quarterback stepping in Minnesota. You just talked about Sam Darnold and your concerns for him in Seattle. How likely is it that J.J. McCarthy is just as good, if not better, than Sam Darnold was for, what, 90%? Of last season? I mean, Sam Darnold was incredible for most of the regular season, and Justin Jefferson still only went over this number by a half a touchdown. So I'm a little bit skeptical on J.J. McCarthy hitting the ground running. I think there could be some bumps for him early in the season. I also think Minnesota will be better running the ball in the red zone this season than they were last year. I think the addition of Jordan Mason is going to be huge. So if Justin Jefferson stays healthy, if he plays 17 games, yeah, he probably gets there, but I don't feel great about it at plus 110. Not quite enough value for me. So I will pass on Justin Jefferson over 9.5 receiving touchdowns. We'll have more play it or pass it coming your way in a moment. But folks, the VSiN NFL betting guide is out now, and our all new college football betting guide drops on August 5th. You want full access to both? Sign up for the football special over at VSiN. Get everything VSiN Pro has to offer across all sports from now through the Super Bowl for just $175. This limited time offer includes a daily best bets email from our expert hosts and their guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, live and on-demand shows via the VSiN Watch app. Plus, you'll get full access to VSiN.com's analytics, tools, and pro betting systems. But don't wait. This early bird pricing expires July 31st. That's next week. So go to VSiN.com/subscribe. Lock in your football special today. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Back to play it or pass it as we take a look at some NFL futures. We get some college bets on the table in just a moment. But Jeff, got to throw you this one. Derrick Henry, over 1,375.5 rushing yards, minus 110. Play it or pass it.
So this is a pretty high number, right? You know, 1,375. It seems like, oh, it's way too hard to go after. But Derrick Henry's gotten to this number 3 out of the last 5, 4 out of the last 6 seasons. I know it's his age 31 season, but I'm in the he's built different camp. I think he is just a special back that I think there is at least one more elite season left in him. I think we spent some time just the other day talking about some of our favorite things about Derrick Henry, including the fact that he had 19 runs of over 20 yards or more. He averaged 5.9 yards per carry, a career high as far as that goes. He fits so well with this Baltimore offense. You know, these props are always based on the ability to stay healthy, right? And I understand that's definitely the concern in the case of Henry, but even 1921 last year, We're not asking him to do that. We're not asking him to get to his RotoWire's projection of 1542, which you can check out. You can check out all of our projections at RotoWire. Use promo code VEASAN for 15% off any RotoWire product. Check out our projections, our rankings, you name it there. I think he attains this number. This is definitely a play it. If we were doing rate that prop, it would be a 4.
I'm with you, dude. I'm with you because there's something about Derrick Henry that just puts him in a separate category for me among running backs. Like everything about his like biological profile in terms of his age, in terms of the workload that he's had since coming into the NFL would lead you to believe that maybe this is the season that cliff comes for him. There are other running backs who are basically the same age as him who I am fading like crazy in fantasy this season. But it's Derrick Henry. He's a physical freak. I would be shocked if there's a real physical fall off for him this season. Showed no signs of physical decline last year. He plays at a great offense. There's a ton of continuity year over year in Baltimore. So I'm with you, man. I don't love betting some of these, you know, injury based season long props, but I don't see Derrick Henry taking a step back.
Yeah, I don't either. And so there you go. We're going to dip our toes into the college football pool a little bit here. We're going to talk a little bit about a couple of our over-under win totals today for player to pass it. Nick, you're a Wisconsin alum. Optimism isn't super high with your Badgers this year. The win total is only 5.5 wins. Under 5.5 wins is -150. You have to pay a premium. Player to pass it.
I'll play the under. I know that the price is being driven up and it continues to rise now -150. We don't love that, but I have no optimism. I'm the least excited I've ever been for a Wisconsin football season, Jeff. And really it's all about the schedule, right? Ohio State, Oregon, Alabama, Illinois, Michigan. They play at Indiana. They play at Minnesota, Iowa. You know, those Minnesota and Iowa games feel like they're just a total toss up every year. And you know, they're at the point now, this Wisconsin team, where there's really aren't that many gimmies in Big Ten play, especially with how the schedule broke down for them. I think the quarterback play is going to continue to be a major issue. That's been an issue since I left college, Jeff, in 2014. You know, you're bringing in a guy who led Maryland to a 1-8 conference record last year, and Billy Edwards, apparently he's your starter. It's a team that barely scored 20 points per game last season. Yes, they have a new OC. Yes, they're returning a decent amount of talent, but it has to be an under or nothing for me on the Wisconsin Badgers.
Real quickly, I am under on the Missouri Tigers. We'll spend some more time on that later, but basically they're replacing their quarterback. They're replacing a first round draft pick at right tackle. They're replacing a really elite wide receiver as well, playing in the nasty SEC. Under 7.5 wins at -130 is my play with the Missouri Tigers. Eric Halterman joins us next, talking MLB futures here on Prop Points.
Watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back into Prop Points here on VSiN, the sports betting network. Nick Whalen, Jeff Erickson back with you. We got our friend Eric Halterman waiting patiently to join us on the Progressive Guest Line. We're going all baseball the rest of the show here, Jeff. I know you have some plays for us for tonight's slate. We'll talk some futures with our MLB expert, Eric Halterman, our features editor over at RotoWire. Eric, welcome to the show, man. Glad to have you back. Hope you enjoyed the All-Star break, but we are right back to it. We got some interesting awards races, division races, of course, some World Series odds to check in on. But I want to start with the Cy Young in the National League, where, you know, Paul Skeens coming off a win last night, shutting down the Detroit Tigers. He is still installed as your favorite, but I will remind you, Eric, something we've talked about in the past, very difficult for a pitcher with a losing record to win the Cy Young. So would you look elsewhere in that National League Cy Young market?
Yeah, I think I would. You know, I was at a game a few weeks ago. It was actually the Paul Skeens, Jacob Mizorowski game up in Milwaukee. I was at that with an older relative, not somebody who I'd say is anti-analytics, just a longtime baseball fan who's seen how these awards have been given out for decades. And he basically scoffed at the idea that Skeens would even be in consideration with how few games he's winning. And it's going to be a really interesting question because we know that the voter base is shifting on that question. We know that modern baseball analytics says, okay, a win is not just up to the starting pitcher. It's up to the bullpen. It's up to the offense, et cetera. But are there still going to be some voters who weigh that at least a little bit? And that on its own could be enough to tilt things Zach Wheeler's way. But Wheeler already maybe should be the favorite even without going to wins. Skeens may have the better ERA, 191 versus 239, but Wheeler wins in the ERA estimators. XFIP and Sierra have him just over 250. They have Paul Skeens about half a run higher than that, because Wheeler has actually been more dominant this year in terms of strikeouts, a 33% strikeout rate for him versus 28% for Paul Skeens. Wheeler also has the narrative factor. He has a couple second-place finishes, but no firsts, and he's already announced his retirement at the end of the 2027 season. It's very rare when guys tell us when they're going to go this far in advance, but we know Wheeler only has three more shots at this. I think that the voter base, there tends to be a little bit of a lifetime achievement award factor with a lot of these major awards in baseball. I think the voters are going to view it as their responsibility to make sure that a guy who's been as good as Zach Wheeler has been over the last 5 years, I think since joining the Phillies, he leads all pitchers in WAR by more than five wins over Logan Webb in second. I think these voters are going to want to make sure that Zach Wheeler doesn't retire without a Cy Young. I think they'll know that Paul Skeens has many more chances. So if it's effectively a tie in terms of the stats, it goes to Wheeler. If you were going to look at a longer shot, I'd probably still look Logan Webb over Christopher Sanchez, because it would be weird to give it to Wheeler's teammate. Again, I think Wheeler wins the tiebreaker over Sanchez if they finish with similar numbers. Webb, though, gave up 10 runs across his last two starts, took his ERA over 3, so it probably takes him out of it, which means I think Zach Wheeler is the only good bet in the NL Cy Young race right now.
Yeah, it's not just Skeens with a losing record. It's also the Pirates with an emphatic losing record, going to be well over 20 games under 500. I think you get one or the other. You know, it's, you know, Steve Carlton obviously had that 1 year. I mean, we're going back to 1973. I mean, to find a good example for that, 72, excuse me, when he was 27-10 and the team was 32-87 when he didn't pitch, which is pretty crazy. But, you know, it's usually, you know, it's unfortunately he doesn't have the winning record to go with it. The usage is also the other thing that's going to hold him back too, because they're shortening outings. And yes, last night they didn't, but his four previous outings, five innings apiece, that's also going to hold him back there too. Let's talk a little AL Cy Young. Do you have a non-Tarek Skubal bet for AL Cy Young?
Yeah, I think this one is still pretty close to a dead heat between Skubal and Crochet. I would take Skubal at even money, but I think the odds are showing Skubal as a little bit more of a favorite than I would have it right now. Their ERAs are literally tied. Skubal has the advantage in whip. He's got a couple points better in strikeout rate and walk rate, so I'd agree he's a better pitcher. Sierra likes him at 232 compared to 292 for Crochet. But he mentioned the workload with Skeens, which is a great point. Crochet leads all of baseball in innings pitched. If he's able to keep doing that in the second half, which will be a question, we all saw how he was managed very carefully down the stretch last year in his first year as a starter. But if Crochet does lead all of baseball in innings pitched and finishes with an ERA right around Tarek Skubal's, I think it would probably go to him. And also, these guys, both their ERAs are so low that one bad start at this stage would add quite a bit to them. If Skubal goes, say, five earned runs in 3 1/3, his ERA would jump all the way up to 247, nearly 30 points. That's just an example of a bad start, not a terrible 10 runs in one inning, but just a normal bad start. If any of these guys has a bad start, the other one suddenly looks like they're in the clear lead in terms of ERA. And I think Skubal and Crochet are pretty equally as likely to have one random dud in the next month or two. Also, I think voters might prefer to spread these things around, and Skubal just won last year. I think this is another case where if it's a tie, I think the tie might actually go to Crochet to give it to a new guy rather than giving Skubal back-to-back awards. We do see back-to-back Cy Young winners. The AL, though, hasn't had one since Pedro Martinez in 99-2000. NL had one recently, DeGrom in 18-19. But I think if you just won last year, you need to be clearly in the lead, and I'm not sure Skubal's clearly in the lead. So at the current odds, give me Garrett Crochet.
You're watching Prop Points here on VSiN. Nick Whale and Jeff Erickson here with you. Eric Halterman, our baseball expert at RotoWire, joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. Eric, I like the direction we're taking here, just kind of fading some of the incumbents in the Cy Young races. And I'll try to rope this into a team bet that you have. Fading the New York Yankees, whether it's in the division, you know, the Blue Jays are now the favorites to win the AL East or for the AL pennant. I know you're looking at that Toronto team as a real viable contender, 16-1 right now to win the World Series, and maybe some interest in the Red Sox as well, as now a 15-1 long shot to take the division.
Yeah, the Blue Jays sitting as the fourth best odds to take home the AL pennant. While they're currently in pole position for a bye, that doesn't seem right to me. Obviously, getting to skip that first round where it's a three-game series could really go either way. I mean, you could throw the Rockies in the first round of the playoffs, so they'd still win occasionally. I really am scared of betting on teams that I think are pretty likely to get stuck in that first round. And the Blue Jays, if they can avoid it, those pennant odds will look really good. But the reason why I'm fading the Yankees is I'm pretty worried about the total collapse of their rotation. They already have Will Warren in his 4.91 ERA as the number three, Marcus Stroman as the number four, Cam Schlitter, who's an interesting rookie, but just a rookie dealing with arm issues too this week. He's the number five. Luis Gil may be coming back soon, but we can't trust his health or really his performance. Even if he was the rookie of the year, he hardly has a long track record as a reliable arm. So if something happens to Max Fried or Carlos Rodon, watch out for this Yankees team. And you know what? Max Fried, multiple arm scares the last few years. Carlos Rodon, long injury history as well. Actually looks shaky in two of his last three starts. So I'm worried about this Yankees team just not having the pitchers to get over the line. Also, any team with Aaron Judge is in an inherently risky spot. You take him away from this team, he's been known to get hurt in the past, and suddenly the Yankees wouldn't even project to be much more than 500 team, if even that. So the Blue Jays, with that current lead in the division and with a very fragile team chasing them, I like them. I also like the Red Sox as a team that's young, been playing well lately, and has the ability to add. If you're going away from the Blue Jays to win the division, the Red Sox are only two games behind the Yankees, and you can get some nice long odds on them as one of the longer favorites or one of the longer underdogs I'd still at least somewhat consider for their division right now.
Yankees are sitting at 55-45 right now, Eric. You'd mentioned all their pitching woes. They're the top wild card right now, only two games ahead of the Mariners and Red Sox. The Rays are 1.5 behind the third wild card. You can get the Yankees to not make the playoffs at +750. Can I interest you in that such a sprinkle on that bet?
Yeah, I think there's enough competitive teams in the AL. And again, it's basically a bet on if Fried or Rodon gets hurt, how is this Yankees team going to get over the line? They're going to need a real addition in that rotation. If anything happens to Judge as well, or if he slumps, there's just not enough depth on this roster. You said it was +750 to miss the playoffs. I mean, I like those odds.
All right, Eric, we got just enough time here for you to give us a couple very quick plays. I know you're looking at a money line and a total for tonight.
Yeah, I'm interested in the Brewers money line. You can get plus money on Jacob Mizorowski and a team that's won 11 straight. I know he's going up against Logan Gilbert and the Mariners, but Gilbert's been shaky. 4.40 ERA since returning from a nearly two-month absence with a forearm issue. Also looking at White Sox Rays over 8 runs. The Rays should be able to score a lot of runs. They could hit the over themselves in a minor league park against Davis Martin. Drew Rasmussen on the mound for them. Supposedly going to be a starter again, but I'm not sure how deep he's going to go in this one.
All right, there we have it. Eric Halterman, everybody. Check him out over at rotowire.com. Folks, Edge Boost is the first ever bank account built for bettors, ensuring all gambling transactions are approved. No usage fees, no minimums. You can earn cash back rewards, 100% approval for all of your betting deposits. Sign up today at edgeboost.bet with promo code PROP. Deposit $25. Edge Boost will match the deposit. That's edgeboost.bet. We got more baseball plays coming your way next here on Prop Points. Jeff Erickson's best bets for Tuesday night coming up.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back into Prop Points here on the Sports Betting Network. Nick Whalen and Jeff Erickson here with you for one more segment, talking some best bets for Major League Baseball tonight. We'll have our G-Bank best bets to round out the show, taking you up to the top of the hour. Make it rain coming up next. Adam Schein back in the chair. He's going to have VSiN Zach Cohen on the show, breaking down the AFC North, talking some tennis as well. Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard. That's coming up at 4 p.m. And make sure you stick around for VSiN Primetime. Tim Murray and Matt Youmans on with you tonight. That starts up at 7. All right, Jeff, we got a few plays from Eric Halterman for tonight's slate, including a play for Brewers Mariners. We'll start there. A rare opportunity, Jeff, to potentially jump on the Brewers money line at plus money with Jacob Mizorowski on the mound going up against Logan Gilbert. We got a very low total tonight coming in at 6.5. Are you interested in that Brewers money line? Are we being baited here? How do you attack this one?
We probably are being baited, and I might still take the bait. I will fall for that banana in the tailpipe because, hey, go with the winning team. I just like getting plus odds with the Brewers, but I will say this. Like many Mariners pitchers, Logan Gilbert loves pitching at home. 2.29 ERA, 0.71 whip at home. On the road, 4.91, 1.52. He just got strafed by the Yankees before the break. It's just an example of that there. This is Jacob Mizrahi's third road start. He's had mixed results. He was amazing against Minnesota. Remember, he took that perfect game into like the sixth or seventh and finally gave up a two-run homer. Tough start at the Mets. You and I, Nick, I know we were both on Mizrahi. We were on the Brewers in that game on the money line. We got burned pretty badly on that one pretty early. So, you know, there's a little bit of risk with him on the road, his first start since the All-Star break. By the way, total did move up to 7, at least at DraftKings it did. You're getting an alt run total of 6.5 at plus 100 if you want to go the under, and that's what I want to do. That's what I'm going to do, the alt run total under 6.5 plus 100. I'll probably also do a little sprinkle on the Milwaukee money line, maybe tie it in as a part of a parlay or something of that nature there too, given that we're getting in a team with 11 game winning streak getting plus odds.
Monster series ongoing in the AL East right now in Toronto. We saw the Blue Jays take game one last night. So Yankees Blue Jays game two tonight, Toronto favored at home on the money line, total coming in at 9. Cam Schlitter, Jeff, who our guy Eric Halterman didn't sound like he has a ton of faith in at the end of that Yankees rotation going up against Max Scherzer. What do we like here?
So there's good reason. I mean, Schlitter has only had one major league start. That was way back on July 9th. He was supposed to pitch Friday after the All-Star break, got pushed back due to arm soreness. Yeah, that's not something that builds trust here. But the Yankees have precious few other options, so I get what they're going for. Schlitter will give you a lot of velocity on that fastball. The Jays don't strike out a lot, though. I think that they get to him. I kind of like a couple of things here. I like the over at 9 is a tough one to get to, but I think if you tie it into other things, you can. On the other side of the hill, I don't trust Max Scherzer. I know he was pretty good in his last time out, but the Yankees, they built up that pitch count against him before. I don't think he's going to go deep in that one there. He did pitch okay, got up to 90 pitches in his last start. I think he gets a little bit of a quick hook, especially because they got depth out of Kevin Gausman yesterday. Gausman went 7 innings, so I think there'll be a quicker hook. So I'm going to go Scherzer under 14.5 outs recorded plus 135. That's one of the reasons why I like that as well. So I don't even think he goes 5 on this one. Mm-hmm.
Taking a look at the Angels and the Mets, this one out in Queens, we got the Mets as big favorites on the money line. Totals up at 9.5, Jeff. Kyle Hendricks taking on Frankie Montas, a potential fade spot for you on Montas.
It is. He's given up 4 homers and 4 starts. So this doesn't strike me as that bad, but 2 of those, and he had a couple of 2 homer games. He's only thrown 19 2/3 innings so far. The Angels, they are a viable offense right now. They strike out a lot. That is true. In the last 30 days, 2nd in WOBA, 2nd at 350, 2nd in WRC plus 124, tied for 4th in homers. They're tied for 1st in homers versus right-handed pitchers. 3rd and road homers, you get the point. They're a team to be not an offense to be trifled with. I mean, on the other side of it here, I don't want to go any money line things on the Angels because Kyle Hendricks, the opposing pitcher, just oozes mediocrity. 15.9% K percentage, less than 8% swinging strike rate, 1.5 homers per 9. So we're not going to back any sides here, but we'll go over on Montas 2.5 earned runs allowed. A little bonus, a little dinger Tuesday. Zach Neto plus 450. I like that. I think the price is good. I know it's not a great park to hit those home runs, but I think Neto gets there.
I know it's a steep hill to climb, Jeff, in the American League, just to get into that wild card mix. Angels currently 4 games back of the last wild card spot. With how this team is playing right now, with the deadline approaching, would you consider the LA Angels 12-1 to make the playoffs?
No, because I don't trust the Angels to do the smart thing. I There's a reason for kernels of optimism. I just don't think the pitching's good enough.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. We'll pass that one at 12-1. Let's move on to the Giants and the Braves. Braves, obviously, this season continues to get away from them. We'll see what kind of moves they make at the deadline. This one's close on the money line. Atlanta minus 112, total up at 9.5. Landon Roop taking on Davis Daniel, Jeff. So what do we like in this game?
Not Davis Daniel. He's making his second start. Oh. He only allowed one run in this first one. Did walk three batters. If you dig a little deeper, 10% walk rate in AAA. I think Landon Roop is okay, but the Braves offense is actually kind of quietly heating up after being dormant most of the season. Scored 9 runs yesterday. Hayden Birdsong with just a disaster outing. By the way, quick aside, we've had a lot of disaster starts since the All-Star break. We're at that point of the season. Some pitchers are getting worn down. Maybe that long layoff actually hurt a couple of them there. The hot weather is going to hit that ball carry a little bit more. Because of all those things, I like the over in this game. Oh, it's a 9.5. It's a high number, but I think we get there minus 101. And what I really like is Davis Daniel over 1.5 walks allowed, minus 110. That's just 2 walks. If a guy that walked 3 and 4 innings last time out, 10% walk rate in AAA, seems to me like he's going to be pretty wild. They're going to ask him to try to go a little deeper this start. I think that all bodes well for the Giants drawing at least 2 walks.
Phillies are at the Boston Red Sox tonight. Big favorites on the road, and that's because of this pitching matchup, Jeff. Richard Fitz on the hill taking on Christopher Sanchez, who 22-1 to win the AL Cy Young. That puts him 3rd in the odds, of course, behind Paul Skenes and Zach Wheeler. So not often that you get a long shot with the 3rd shortest odds, but somebody to keep an eye on in that race. I know you think this is a great spot for him tonight.
I do. He strikes out more batters at home than he does on the road, up to 10.5 Ks per 9 at home. He's got the Boston Red Sox, meanwhile, they strike out a ton, especially outside of the friendly confines of Fenway Park. 26% K percentage on the road, second highest in baseball, only behind the paste eating Rockies. 23.6% strikeout rate versus left-handed pitchers. That's actually decent, but still pretty high, especially when you're dealing with a high strikeout guy like Sanchez. I like the over on Christopher Sanchez's strikeouts at 6.5. You get that at plus 105 as well. So, and keep in mind, maybe a little extra burning motivation for Sanchez for that all-star spurn in favor of Jacob Mizrahi.
One quick note from the NFL before we get to our G-Bank best bets of the night. Tyrann Mathieu has announced his retirement from the NFL. Re-signed with the Saints this offseason. Started every game for the Saints over the last 3 years. So another hit to what will likely be one of the struggling teams in the National Football League this season. Our best bets are brought to you by GBank, introducing the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. All you need to do is open a GBank Visa Signature credit card, and in the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. You'll receive $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa Signature card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match, and VSiN completes the trifecta with a free 6-month VSiN Pro subscription. That's the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. Head on over to VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. This one-time promotion is limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions apply. All right, Jeff, your best bet. You gave us some great plays in Major League Baseball. Are we going back to Davis Daniel here?
We are, as one often tends to do on prop points. We think about Davis Daniel. Over 1.5 walks allowed. We like that one a lot. Just want to comment real quick. I cannot believe Rich Hill is still making a start in the major leagues today for the Royals against the Cubs. Find your favorite home run prop there. 13-mile-an-hour win right to left. So probably look for some of those right-handed batters there.
All right, there we go. Shout out to Rich Hill making that start at age 45. I'm taking the Guardians over 4.5 team total tonight against the O's. Get that at plus 114. They've gone over this number 5 of the last 6 games. Over the last 10 games, only the Mariners have scored more runs than the Guardians. So we like them to keep that up with Brandon Young on the hill tonight for Baltimore. That's going to wrap the Tuesday edition of Prop Points. We'll be back with you 2 p.m. Eastern tomorrow and for the rest of the week. But for now, we're handing it off to Make It Rain. Adam Schein coming your way next here on VSiN.